Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. Pardon? Oh, birthdays and anniversaries. I forget everything. Huh? Pardon? Well, I just forget everything. Doctor told me the other day I had Alzheimer's. I had cancer and I had Alzheimer's. I said, well, at least I don't have cancer. But I'm getting bad. I'm getting that bad. All right, any birthdays here today? Hold your hands up high. I told you, nobody had a birthday here today. Oh, we got one over here. Brother Vim, you've got a birthday. All right. Get your hand off that one. Oh, that's your mom. Never mind. That's okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, anniversaries. Any anniversaries? Don't want to talk about it, do you? Don't want to talk about it. All right, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Thank you, Miss Eva Rose. God bless you. Man, you must be doing good sporting that high dollar outfit you got on. My, my. Dave Cook told me one day, said these country boys don't know what they missed out on with Eva Rose. My, my. We lived right around the corner from Eva. Her dad was Roy Holt. One night, me and Tom Hoskins, our cousin, slept in my brother's barn. Slept all night there. Don't let anybody tell you that it's warm sleeping in the hay. We flat froze to death that night. And I woke up shivering before daylight, and I saw smoke from the chimney of Eva's house. Her mama cooked on a wood cook stove. And that smoke was going up there. And we had made a beeline to where that smoke coming out of that chimney. And we had taters and gravy. Eggs, tater, gravy, and biscuit. Man, making my tongue want to slap my brains out. It was so good. All right, let me get on with preaching. I don't want to keep you beyond 1 or 2 o'clock. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 1, here's Solomon considered the wisest man in the world, and he says this, "For all this, I considered in my heart even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked, and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil thing, all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to join ourselves to a living Savior this morning, Lord. That the end, it isn't over when this body passes on, Lord. It's nailed to the cross. And our precious soul and spirit are joined. We become to your precious Son, Jesus Christ. We become bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. There to live forever based on your holy promises, Lord, from a God who cannot lie. I'm thankful for that, Lord. Hold me up today, Lord. Give me power in the preaching and let your word speak to hearts this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Solomon here near the end of Ecclesiastes, he concluded by saying that we're all a mess. And we're all a mess, and there's two options at the end of everyone. At the end of your life, there's two options. One, you either go to the dead, or number two, you're joined to the living. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ, you're passed from death unto life. Your soul and spirit becomes joined to Jesus Christ. And there he promises eternal life. Solomon said this. He said, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. I said, well, if it's just death, that's not so bad. Hey, wait a minute. The Bible says over in Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I don't want to go there. I didn't want to go there. I was afraid of God. When the children of Israel sinned, Moses said this in Exodus 32:32. He says, yet now if you forgive their sin, and if not, blot me. Moses said, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. You know what the Lord told Moses? The Lord said to Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Wow. I guess that's why over there in Revelation, where they're looking through the book to see whose name was written down. Because a lot have been blotted out, and we'll talk about that. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 100, when did it get written down? That's a good question. You know what the abortion crowd says about it? Well, it's just a fetus. Psalms 139:15, the Bible said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. So evidently, when life was formed in you, you were written down in God's book of the living. Now, Brother Mike Stroh, my Jewish buddy, was a Hasidic Jew studying to be a rabbi. He got gloriously saved, and he's pretty smart on this Jewish stuff. Now, he says, and I kind of agree with him, that the moment that God put you together, the moment he wrote your name down in the book of living, At that time. And the moment you sin, you're blotted out. When you come to the age past, beyond that age of innocence where you know good and evil, just like Adam and Eve, you're held accountable. And that first time you sin, your name's blotted out. Here's what the Lord said. I'll find it. So a life was formed in you. You were written down in God's book of the living. The moment you sin, and then the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Him will I blot out, is what the Lord said. Why do you think the Lord said you must be born again? The moment you sinned, you're not in that book of the living anymore. Your body is condemned to death. And your soul is condemned to wrath. He that hath the Son of God hath eternal life, and he who hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Man, I don't want that. I didn't want that. The Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So now everyone in this building falls into one of these two groups. You're either dead in trespasses and sin, or you've been born again. You're either lost or you're saved. You're either condemned or you're justified. That takes in everybody. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All right, here in our text, Ecclesiastes 9 says, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You know who our hope is? You know what your hope is? What my hope is? Jesus Christ. He is our hope. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So the moment I sinned and my name was blotted out of the book of the living, and there was a penalty that I owed for my sin. The wages of sin is death. And then I looked at Revelation 24. The Bible said, death and hell cast into the lake of fire. Man, that's not a happy ending for someone who hasn't trusted Christ. It's not a happy ending. I was scared. As a boy, man, I sweated over salvation. I came under conviction, and I was sweating. I prayed to God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to face justice, because I knew what I was. Jesus Christ gave me hope. Hey, you're here today and you're not saved, you ought to be scared too. Job asks this, says in Job 25, 4, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? It's a good question. There's just one way. Only one way to be justified before God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Solomon said in our text, to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. The very moment that I trusted Jesus Christ, Bible says repentance toward God. I knew I was a mess. I knew I was going to hell. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, I need saved. I need somebody to save me. And from what I'm seeing, you're the only one that can. And probably the only one that will. To him that is joined to the living, there is hope. The moment I trusted Christ, the Bible says I was joined to him. I was joined to a living Savior. The wages of sin that I owed was death. That's what I owed. And Jesus Christ paid that debt in my place. I needed to pay for my sins, a penalty that God required. And Jesus Christ paid for every sin. That's incredible. Why would he do that? Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus willingly laid down his life on Calvary's cross for me, and he laid it down for you. So all the world, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I've never gotten a gift that I had to work for. I've never received a gift that I had to earn. Anyone that gave me a gift was out of love. Hebrews 2:9 said, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. Do you know? Then it goes on to say that the last Adam was the Lord from heaven. You know what it's talking about there? When Adam was created, he had the image of God. Said, let us make man in our image. So Adam was created in the image of God, a body, a soul, and a spirit. All alive. But when Adam sinned, something died. He told Adam and Eve, of all the trees in the midst of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat, for in the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Well, they ate of it. They didn't die physically. The body didn't die. Adam lived another 800 years. So what died? His spirit, that image of God. God withdrew his image because of sin. God had to withdraw his spirit. No one from Adam until Jesus Christ showed up on this earth had the image of God. Dead in trespasses and sin. No spiritual life. The Lord shows up and he tells Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. Marvel not that I said you must be born again. See, it's a new seed. And you get, I dated a girl one time. She thought I was pretty cute for a while. And I asked her if she was a Christian. She said, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those born again types. Huh. We got along about like Hitler and MacArthur. But anyway, hey, the Lord said, you must be born again. And that new birth occurs the moment that you, by faith, from the heart, trust in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't say you might be. Said you shall be. You got God's word on it. A holy God. And so 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That means he makes alive. To quicken means to make alive. Remember the Sharon Stone movie, The Quick and the Dead? Nobody remembers that. It's from an old Louis L'Amour Western novel. He makes alive. A quickening spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Wow. Yay. Whoop. Amen. We need, can somebody bring those offering plates and hand out some drugs or something here to this crowd? Hey, I don't have to go to the dead. I'm joined to the living. For Ephesians 5:30 says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, and he liveth and reigneth forever and ever and ever. The devil couldn't kill the Lord, and he can't kill me. I'm joined to the living Savior. My. Because he lives, I live. You know, the great thing of that is I don't have to pay for my sins. Not that I'm getting away with them. Don't get me wrong. In the Old Testament, they were covered. But there's still a guilty conscience. Old Testament, those priests, they'd bring those turtle doves or whatever, and they'd spread that blood. But it didn't clear the guilty. It don't say they were sinless. The Bible said of Zacharias and Elizabeth over in Luke 1 said they were that kept the statutes and the ordinances. That's talking about the law of the sacrifice. They kept that and they were blameless. Not sinless. God held them blameless because they did what God told them to do. It covered their sins, but they had never been paid for. That's why men couldn't go to heaven when they died. Those Old Testament saints went to paradise. They couldn't go to heaven because they had the sin debt hadn't been paid. Duh, sins were still there. They couldn't go to hell because they did what God told them to do to get to paradise. Only after that blood was shed on Calvary's cross, the sin debt was paid. And the Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience? Hey, you got a guilty conscience today? Get over it. Yeah, if you hold on to a guilt for anything, it's like accusing Jesus Christ that what he did on the cross was just not enough to pay for what you did. Think about it. It was enough, more than enough. You face God with a clear conscience. Get over it and move on. All right. So you remember that part about the soul that sinneth being blotted out of God's book? The moment you trust Jesus Christ, you're joined to him. And guess what? Your name is written down again. In the Lamb's book of life. Whoo! That's exciting. And y'all are sitting here like a bunch of Lutherans. All right, let me move on. The Lord told the disciples, he said, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ, your name's written down again. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. That crowd's going to fall on their knees. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, wish they had. The book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Esther 8:8. The Bible says, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name. And seal it with a king's ring. Watch it. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Wow. Woo. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus our Lord. Whoo! Man, that's good. Good preaching, Brother Tom. I know it, yeah. Hey, the moment I got saved, this sinful body of flesh was identified with the cross of Christ. This sinful body of flesh was cut loose from my soul and spirit, a spiritual operation of God. The Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 8, 9, 10, in that location somewhere, God cut on me with a spiritual knife, and he separated that body of flesh. He talks about ye who were dead and trespassed in sin and the circumcision of your flesh. But when I got saved, that spiritual circumcision took place. And that body of flesh is now identified with the cross of Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. I'm a new creature. Then that new creature. And man, there's so much in that book about that new creature. That soul and spirit said is sealed to the day of redemption. There's an interesting verse that gets taken out of context because they don't understand this thing of the soul and spirit being cut loose from the body of flesh. There's a verse that says, that which is born of God cannot sin. I read that, but I said, but I'm still sinning. That's not you. That's not the new creature. That's the old flesh. And that those sins of the flesh are identified with Jesus Christ and his sacrificial work. My life, that life in Christ, is hid with God in Christ. God sees me, he sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm joined to the living. I'm joined to him. Blessed is a man to whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is a man who sins or comes. I sin, but it's imputed to his precious Son. Man, that's wild. Man, that's wild. Hey, the moment I got saved, this sinful body of flesh nailed to the cross with my Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, that old flesh is reckoned dead, but I'm joined to the living. David said, quicken me, O Lord, Psalms 143:11. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. That's why I'm born again, because for Jesus' sake. God loved the Lord. He loved his precious Son, Jesus Christ. It isn't because I'm so wonderful. It's because he loved his Son. And when I'm in the Son, I have the love of the Father in me because of the love of the Son. And he chose me. I chose him. Wow, that's incredible. Joined to him, the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, thy righteousness' sake, not mine. Bring my soul out of trouble. That's when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I did. And he did. And based upon his promises, I have eternal life secured. Not by anything that I done, but because of the life he lived. By the faith of the Son of God. His faithfulness is how I live today. It's how I experience life forever and ever. That's why I'll get to see my mama and my daddy again, because they took the same cure in Jesus Christ. Now I'm passed from death to life. John said, or Lord said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. My, my, my. Solomon said in our text, yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Are you joined to Jesus Christ this morning? I've told you how to do that. You do that by faith. For by grace, Ephesians 2, 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then you're joined to Christ. God loved you enough to save you where you are. He loved you enough to save you where you are. And then he loved you enough to not leave you where he found you. He said, for we are created unto good works in Christ Jesus, which a man ought to walk in them. God had before ordained that a man should walk in them. Are you joined to Christ? 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Not in religious, not in your lodge membership, not in keeping the sacraments, not in the Jewish law. It's in his Son. He became the end of the law for righteousness to all that believe. Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The psalmist said in Psalms 119, 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Have you allowed yourself to be joined to the living? He said, whosoever will, let him come. Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful thing. Are you there? Why not? Everyone stand up this morning. Evil, would you mind playing piano? Steve, would you come and do something like just as I am or something like that. Something simple. Pass me. Okay, that's a tough meter, but try. Go ahead. God loves you this morning. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. You want to go to the dead? Then trust your good works. You want to go to the dead? Then trust your lodge membership or the civic organizations you belong to. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Be joined to the living. In him was light, and the light was the life of men. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you've never trusted him, today is a good day to do that. Behold, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Won't you come? The altar's open. Maybe you've got a burden on your heart. Won't you come?